Have your Bibles with you. Please turn in them to the book of 1 John. Last week we began a new preaching series going through the book of 1 John. The title of this series is Genuine Christianity. The aim of this series and the aim of this book is very specifically to help us to more fully grasp and more fully embrace real, authentic, genuine Christianity. Jeremy and I believe that this is the focus that the Holy Spirit has for us as individuals and as a church here as we start the beginning of the year 2020. Well, this morning we're going to continue where we left off last week. Our passage today is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Let's, in this moment, prepare our hearts to be addressed not by merely a man, but by God himself who inspired the Apostle John to write these words. 1 John chapter 1, we begin reading in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May God bless the preaching of his word and write its eternal truth upon our hearts. Even a cursory reading of these verses that we just read shows that it has something to do with light, and it's got something to do with darkness as well. And just a few words here, the words light and darkness are used a combined five times. Both back in the first century when this letter was first written, as well as today, light and darkness serve as powerful metaphors for good and evil. In the opening of the Fellowship of the Ring movie, sorry, Lord of the Rings fanatics, I have not read the books, I have only seen the movies. But in the opening of the Fellowship of the Ring, the narrator explains this. He says, in the land, and you remember he's got that thick accent, in the land of Mordor, in the fires of Mount Doom, the Dark Lord Sauron forged in secret a master ring to control all others. If you've read the books or seen the movies, you know the Dark Lord Sauron is about as evil can be. But the great and good wizard Gandalf, he is the opposite. He is as good can be. Some of you will recall that the Two Towers movie, the second movie in the series, climaxes with the Battle of Helm's Deep when Gandalf appears with blinding white light shining all around him. It's a great scene. His friends and the men of Rohan, they're losing the battle. It's a dark day. They're being defeated and wiped out by the monstrous evil orcs. And then Gandalf appears. Remember that scene at the top of the hill? Brilliant white light. And he saves the day. Everyone knows in Star Wars, that movie, the evil side of the Force is called the dark side. And the good side of the Force is called the light side. So enough with the movies. You get the point. Many movies have a theme of light and darkness. They have a theme, a strong theme of good and evil. Looking at the New Testament, just a few quick examples. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks of Satan and his demons. Ephesians 6, the spiritual warfare passage, speaks of Satan and his demons as spiritual forces of evil, as cosmic powers over this present darkness. In John 8:12, speaking of himself, Jesus says, "I am the light. I am the light of the world." In James 1:17, James refers to the Father, he refers to our Heavenly Father, as the Father of lights. Our text today is about this. Our text today is about who belongs to the realm of darkness, that is, the realm of evil and the realm of Satan. And then on the other hand, who belongs to the realm of light? Who belongs to the realm of good? Who belongs to the realm where God himself dwells? Briefly, the context. You'll recall from last week, John's original audience, likely a church or a group of churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. This church or churches had been tragically torn apart by false teachers. These false teachers proclaimed an early Gnostic heresy that declared, this is really bad stuff. They declared that Jesus was not incarnate. They taught that Jesus was not God who took on human form. They taught that Jesus was not God come into the flesh to rescue and redeem sinners. They also taught that the body was evil, that physical matter, and the body especially, was evil. So, as they taught, it doesn't really matter what you do with the body. Who cares? It's evil anyway. So go ahead and sin if you like. It's a very destructive, heretical teaching that was pulling people away from the faith. These false teachers and their followers, as we see as you read the book of 1 John, they eventually ended up leaving the church. However, those who remained did not go unharmed by this heretical, offic, really demonic teaching. A cloud of confusion had descended upon them, and they needed clarity on such questions as, is there any legitimacy at all to this teaching? They had a sense that it was wrong, but how much of it is wrong? They wondered, is some of what these teachers say true? They saw friends leave them. They wondered, are those who have departed from us genuine Christians? Are they real? Are they going to be with us in heaven? Or not? These were very real questions. To put these questions in terms of our text today, they were wondering, to what realm did these teachers and their followers belong? Did they belong to the realm of light? Or to the realm of darkness? To the realm of God or the realm of Satan? The realm of righteousness or the realm of evil? In our passage today, and really in this entire epistle, the Apostle John, in an attempt to care for these disillusioned believers, he seeks to answer these questions. When you read the book of 1 John, I want to encourage you to sit down and read through it. You could probably read through it easily in one setting. You're going to pick up the Apostle John, he's not just trying to teach, he is teaching, but he's teaching with the aim of really caring for these people that he had relationship with, that he loved. It's very pastoral, it's very warm. So he's trying to care for them by answering these questions. Which realm are these teachers and their followers part of? They were also wondering, do we have the real thing? Are we part of the light? So John begins to address these issues. And we read verse 5. Please look there. God is light. This is the starting point, John says. Let's just start right here, okay? God is light, and in him, is no darkness at all. Scripture is clear. John is clear. God is not, he is not mostly righteous, is he? He's not mostly holy. He's not mostly pure. Rather, God is totally, completely, 100% righteous, holy, and pure. In him there is no imperfection, no blemish, no deficiency. God defines light. He embodies light. He emanates light. God is light. And as John says, in him is no darkness at all. It necessarily follows then that certain characteristics, certain qualities will define the genuine Christian. Certain characteristics will define the one who walks according to the light himself, which is God himself. In our passage, John gives us three of those qualities or characteristics. Characteristics that mark the person who's walking in the light, who's walking in the realm where God exists and dwells. First quality, the one who walks in the light, he says, embraces godliness. One who's walking in the light, as he is in the light, embraces godliness. Verse 1, please look there. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, he says, and do not practice the truth. To practice the truth, what's that about? Well, to practice the truth is not merely to acknowledge the truth with our lips, but to abide by the truth with our actions. It is not merely to profess the truth with our mouths, but to live the truth. To live the truth in the home, in the workplace, and in the community. To practice the truth. To practice the truth is not to merely proclaim the truth with words, but to obey the truth in word, thought, and deed. Here in verse 1, John makes it clear. If someone makes the claim to have relationship with God, to have communion with God, to have fellowship with God, and yet, simultaneously, to borrow language from Psalm 1, they walk in the counsel of the wicked. They stand in the seat of sinners. They sit in the seat of scoffers. If these ones claim to know God, yet reject godliness, choosing rather to live in sin, John says, if that's true about them, well then here's also what is true about them. Their claim to have fellowship with God, it's false. They lie. They walk in darkness. And they, he says, with great sobriety, do not practice the truth. Needless to say, this was a serious indictment on the spiritual state of these false teachers and their followers. They were in a spiritually dangerous and precarious place. And it is a serious indictment, I might add, on anyone who claims to know God, yet stubbornly refuses to walk according to his righteous ways. It should be noted, the Apostle John here does not make perfection or sinlessness the prerequisite for fellowship with God. He's not saying you've got to be perfect and have your act all together in order to have fellowship with God. We know this because of verse 8. Verse 8, John assumes we all struggle with sin, so he lovingly, I'm so thankful for this, draws our attention to the remedy for our sin that is in Jesus. This passage is an amazing passage, brothers and sisters. It's simultaneously this incredible call to live a holy life, and it's at the same time a gospel-drenched, grace-drenched, mercy-drenched, Jesus-centered passage. It's amazing. Call to walk in the light as God is in the light, as well as pointing to the remedy when we fail. John's not requiring sinless perfection for fellowship. He is, however, making it plain. He is making it really clear. This is the word of God. This is not me. And he's making it clear that the one who persists in sinful behavior, the one who willfully, deliberately, habitually engages in evil deeds, the one who rejects godliness and stubbornly refuses to repent when confronted with their sins, that person's claim to fellowship and relationship with God is false. And utterly so. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, what does he say? He says, God, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Verse 7, but i.e., on the other hand, what does he say? If we walk in the light as he is in the light. In other words, if you walk in the realm where God dwells, what does he say? Oh, we have fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. And notice what comes next. And the blood of Jesus, praise the Lord, cleanses us from all sin. In verse 5, we read that God himself is light. As I said, he is the definition of light. He embodies light. He radiates light. God is light. Now in verse 7 starts off, if we, that is you and me, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, well then he said there are these amazing privileges, these wonderful blessings, these magnificent benefits that come to us. Fellowship, other believers, blood of Jesus cleansing from all sin. So I read this. I mean, the way John makes talking about walking in the light, it is attractive and it is appealing. I read this and it just causes something to rise up in my heart of joy and desire. I want to live and operate and dwell in the realm that God himself does. Don't you? When to be, walk in the light as God is in the light. But it begs the question, what does this really mean? Okay, if I'm going to enjoy these blessings and walk in this realm, what does it mean to walk? What does that actually mean to walk in the light? Well, part of what it means to walk in the light is to love others. John 2:10 says, you can glance there if you want. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. So walking in the light, in John's mind, we know it means at some level, it means walking in love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we walk in genuine biblical love with one another, just think about this, and we overcome all obstacles that might hinder us, we powerfully radiate the love of Christ. When we actually love each other, I mean like biblical love, when we love one another as Christ loves us, when we bear with one another, when we forgive each other when we sin against each other, when we serve one another, when we care for one another in times of difficulty, when we love one another, we are walking in the light. We are living in the realm that God himself lives. We're radiating the light of Christ to the world around us. That's what John is very, very, very clear about. And that's the vision God casts for our community. Our community here, community that radiates the love of God, radiates the light of Christ to people around us. That's not all it means to walk in the light, however. We are to walk in the light, John says, as he, that is God himself, is in the light. So just chew on this with me for a minute here. God exists in the realm of light. That is, he exists in the realm of all that is holy, righteous, and pure, good, lovely, and true. That's God's sphere. That's God's realm. Hence, it follows that the man, the woman, the boy, the girl who walks in the light, hear me, walks in the same manner as God walks. Not perfectly, of course, but the one who walks in the light embraces godliness, and their lives progressively, increasingly reflect, because of the work of the Spirit in their lives, they reflect the righteousness, holiness, purity that is seen in God himself. Again, this is not something we self-produce, but this is something God by the Holy Spirit produces. And we reflect Christ to others. That's why the Apostle Paul speaks of us being ambassadors of Christ. We actually represent him. And that's not just a talk thing. That's, dear brothers and sisters, an action thing as well. So that's what it means to walk in the light. And as we do so, as we model godly attitudes and character, what does John say? Does he say, we have fellowship with God? If you walk in the light, you see, you have fellowship with God? Now, that's true. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with God. But that's not what he says. He says that when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Just as we saw, I hope you're starting to see some connections. One of the things I love about going through a book of the Bible is you just begin to see things repeatedly emphasized. And when they're repeatedly emphasized, you get the sense and you understand, okay, this really matters to the biblical writers. Hence, it matters to the Lord himself. But we saw back in verse 3 last week, we see it again here, the high value that the Apostle John places on fellowship among believers. This is a big deal. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another. This is a big deal to John. Brothers and sisters, in and through the redeeming work of Christ on our behalf, we each have been transferred out of, this is a miracle, praise him for it, we have each been transferred out of the realm of darkness by the power of the Holy Spirit when he converted us into the realm of light. The Apostle Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. You remember what Peter says? Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's amazing is, and Peter reflects this, not just one of us has been called out of darkness into light. He didn't just call one person out of darkness into his light. Many of us have been called out of darkness into light. And aren't you thankful for that? What would your life be like if you were living in darkness? God, at some point in time, called you out, called me out of living for ourselves, living in darkness, going our own way. Called us out of darkness and evil, following the prince of the power of air, who is Satan, into his marvelous light. Many of us have experienced that, and we have our testimonies. We could spend days here, and maybe we should do that sometime, and just share testimony after testimony in this room of miracles. Look around you, miracles everywhere in this room. We could share testimonies of what God has done in calling us and bringing dead people to life, and people who were once following sin and Satan, and people are following Jesus now. So it's not just one person that's been called out. We've been called out as people, and as a result, we have, as people of the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's what John's talking about. When you walk in the light, you are part of a community of people. And that's what the church is about. That's what the local church is about. That's what the church universal is about. It's about, but the local church here, the local church is about redeemed sinners. It's about forgiven sinners walking in the light of his holiness together. That's what this is about. God, we live in his realm together. We're seeking to walk in his holiness together. We're linking arms, pursuing Christ together, pursuing holiness and godliness together, and then reflecting the light of Christ all around us. We don't just merely reflect the light of Christ individually. We do, but we do so as well together. And what a wonderful thing it is to walk together. We need each other to live this way. We need each other to walk in the light, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to build one another up. And as we do so, as we pursue godliness and receive God's grace through the community, we reflect the light of Christ to those around us. And we also fulfill Jesus' words to his disciples. You'll recall what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we proclaim the gospel, and we represent Christ to those around us. Those who walk in the light, they know the blessing and privilege of fellowship with other Christians, but that's not all. That's not the only blessing. It gets better. But if we walk in the light, I'm in verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son cleanses us from all sin. One commentator that I read, his name is I. Howard Marshall, he makes the excellent point that when we first set out to walk in the light, when we first begin to walk in the light and seek to walk in holiness, one of the first things that happens is the light, it's so strong. The light of God's holiness exposes our sins. We're aware of his holiness. We're aware of his purity. We're aware of his righteousness. And we're aware we're not that. We're aware of our sinfulness. We feel the sinfulness of our sin. We feel dirty and defiled. We feel polluted and corrupt. We feel evil and unclean. And what Marshall points out is when we first step into the light, take those first steps, the temptation is to flee right back to the darkness because it feels comfortable and you feel less exposed. So that's option A. When confronted with the holiness of God and our sinfulness, option A, go back to the darkness. It feels safe. It feels comfortable. You don't feel so exposed. But I want to point out, friends, this text shows us that there is an option B. It's a wonderful option B. Of the exposed sinner, Marshall writes, and I believe we have this for you, alternatively, he comes, sin and all, into the light. And to his amazement, discovers that the dark blemishes disappear. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Dear brothers and sisters, this right here, this is what makes the gospel so wonderful. This is the glory of the gospel, the glory of Christ. This is what's so wonderful about being a Christian. It's so amazing. Just think for a moment about the sins that fill you with the greatest regret. The sins that cause you to feel the most guilty. The sins that make you feel the most ashamed. Maybe it's lying, or cheating, or stealing, or lust, or adultery, or anger, or fear, or hatred, pride. Whatever the sin may be, you've got that in your mind right now. Rest assured. Rest assured, whatever the sin may be, for every sin that you have brought into the light, every sin you have taken before the throne of grace, that you have asked Jesus to forgive you of, that you've repented of, may these words go deep into your soul today. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you of all sin. Moving along, the one who walks in the light, second point, acknowledge their sin. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says something similar. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The false teachers evidently claimed that they had no sin. And John is clear. Anyone who makes that claim is definitely not of the truth. They are not walking in the light. They are not genuine Christians. He clearly implies, if the truth is indeed in us, if the truth is in you, you will say you have sin. That is, anyone who is of the truth will humbly acknowledge their sin, admit their sin. Own their sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One defining mark of a true, authentic, genuine believer is that they freely acknowledge and own their sin. The trouble is, even as believers, we struggle with this, don't we? It can be easy for us to hide our sin, to excuse our sin, to defend our sin. In one of his blog posts, Paul Tripp asked the question, are you quick to hire a defense attorney? He answers the question this way. Are you quick to hire a defense attorney? When my wife in faithful love points out a wrong in me, my first response is rarely one of humble confession. Instead, I gather evidence of my righteousness and go to court and defend my words and actions, even when I know she is accurate. It makes no sense for a follower of Christ to do that. If the penalty for our sin has been paid in full, we are set free to admit our weakness, sin, and failure. If the penalty for our sin has been paid in full, and it has, we are set free to admit our sin, weaknesses, and failure. When confronted with our sins, the flesh, the inner defense attorney says, no, I am not guilty. I'm not that bad. I've done nothing wrong. And the Spirit of God says, oh, yes, you did do something wrong. And you are that bad. And you've done a lot more wrong than you think. That is not, dear brothers and sisters, the way of walking in the light, defending our sins. Frankly, that is the way of darkness, hiding sin, covering up sin, excusing sin. So what's wonderful is every day, God, by his Spirit, invites us when we sin to step out of the darkness into his light and receive his grace. And God may be inviting some of us to do that. He's a wonderful Savior. We have every reason to run towards the light, not away from it. Which brings us to our third point. The individual who walks in the light, the genuine Christian, confesses their sin. Verse 9. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. Let's think about what it means. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Thank you, Lord, from all of righteousness. This is one of the most glorious promises in all of Scripture. When we walk in the light, when we acknowledge our sin, when we own our sin, when we admit our sin before God and humbly come before him, confessing our sin and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we do that, God promises that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, that does not imply that when you sin, somehow your justification, your right standing before God has been undone and now you're regaining again by confession. That's not what John is saying here. Now, John is simply acutely aware that every day as believers, we sin. Every day, not just before conversion, but after conversion, in various ways, we violate God's laws and commands. And when we disobey God, when we sin, our conscience is defiled, isn't it? We know we've done wrong. We feel guilty. Our fellowship with God, our communion with God, our intimacy with God is disrupted. And it's at those points when guilt floods our souls that we most feel our need for forgiveness. It's at those moments when guilt fills our hearts that we most feel our need for cleansing. It's at those moments that we most feel our need for our relationship with God to be renewed and restored. So John tells us, you don't have to run. You don't have to hide from the light of God's holiness. You don't have to take that option. You don't have to run in shame and cover yourselves with fig leaves like Adam and Eve did in the garden. When we sin, this is the gospel, there is a way forward. And that way is stepping into the light. The way forward is humble, honest, heartfelt acknowledgement and confession of sin, where we come before that throne of grace and we say, Father, forgive me for what I have done wrong. And we say, Father, I have once again disobeyed you. I have once again violated your law and commands. I have once again sinned against you. Then we say, Lord, thank you that because Jesus died on that cross for me, I can be forgiven. I don't need to feel the guilt and shame for what I've done because you bore that guilt and shame on the cross. Lord, now I receive. Lord, I receive your cleansing. I receive your forgiveness. What happens when we step into the light and humbly confess like that is a wonderful thing. What happens in that moment is not that we are justified again. What happens is that our justification, what Christ Jesus has done, is once again applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies what Jesus has done to our hearts. And we experience the grace of restored fellowship with our Heavenly Father and a cleansed conscience. We don't need to walk around with burdened consciences, guilty consciences. Instead, we can step into the light. Oh, he is holy. He is oh so holy. Isaiah saw the holiness of God and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Yet because of Christ, we have a mediator between us and God. Through Jesus and his perfect blood, we can come into the presence of God. And as we confess, honestly, openly, no excuses, no blame shifting. We're just receivers. We just receive from him all that forgiveness and his love and cleansed conscience. If we confess our sins, Grace Community Church, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what it means to walk in the light. That is what it means to live as a son or daughter of the living God. Not perfection, but yes, open, honest confession to the Savior. This is what it means. This is what genuine Christianity is all about. You want the real thing? You want real, genuine Christianity? You don't want an cheap imitation? Be honest before the Lord with your sin. That's what I'm taking home from this, and receive his grace. God invites us to not excuse our sin, hide our sin, or flee to the darkness for refuge from God's holiness, but to step into the light and receive his grace. I would like to ask the band to join me on the stage. I believe this morning he's still at work here, even as we move to close. I believe God would invite each one of us to humbly ask ourselves this question. Here's the question: what does it mean for me to walk in the light today? We don't want to just hear a sermon. We want to apply. So that's where we're at right now. What does it mean for me? So that's what I'm asking myself. What does it mean for Chris to walk in the light today? And for each one of us, it might look a bit different. Some of you are not believers in Jesus Christ. And you've been walking in darkness a long time. Maybe you've grown up in the church. Maybe this is the first time you've set foot in the church in a long time. Whatever the case may be, God invites you this morning to come to the light. Who is Jesus? He invites you to confess your sins, to turn from your sins, and to receive his forgiveness. Please, if that's you, please do so. Please don't leave today without putting your faith in him and receiving the most wonderful gift you'll ever receive, cleansing from the Lord Jesus himself. It really is possible to have a clean conscience when you come to the Lord. I'm also aware there may be those of you here who claim to follow Christ, who claim to be of the light, yet you know and only you know that you've been living a double life. Someone, a family friend years ago, a professing Christian, made a statement to my wife and I, and it stuck with me like glue on a piece of paper. And his family friend said to my wife and I, the older, and she was speaking of the Christian life, the older I get, the grayer things become. And I thought, oh my, that doesn't sound too good when I heard it. And what she meant is that God's holy standards in his word were no longer quite so black and white to her, that there was an area of gray. Come to find out later that the time that she made that statement to my wife and I, she was walking in an adulterous relationship. Her answer to her sin was to make God less holy in her mind than he really is. Brothers and sisters, I trust you know you can't do that. There could be someone here living a double life right now, and you're trying to do that. I want to tell you, you can't dim the light. You can't dim the light. You cannot make God less holy in order to make yourself feel better about the darkness that you are presently walking in. She was in a dangerous place. If there be anyone here who is living that way, who claims to follow Christ, yet is you're walking in real sin, and you know it. God is calling you right here today. He's being kind to you, and he's calling you to step out of the darkness, to come towards the light, to confess your sin openly, honestly to him, not excusing it, confessing it to appropriate others who can help you, hold you accountable to repent. If this is you, the Holy Spirit is calling you now. Do not turn a deaf ear. Respond. The stakes are too high. Eternity is on the line. Come to him today. For those who are seeking to walk in the light, and I know that's most in this room, I believe God's inviting us into a kind of honest evaluation of ourselves. He's inviting us to just look at ourselves in one sense, not to for condemnation, but just to be open and honest with him and others. Be honest with him about the struggles that we face. I don't know that we are always like that in our relationship with God even. I think sometimes even in our relationship with God, there can be a bit of a pretense. But God has invited us to be honest. You struggle with something? There's a sin you're battling? Sin you've committed, you take it to him. It could be something little. It could be something more significant. Take it to him. Take it to the Lord. Come before him. What are you doing sticking around, walking around with a burdened conscience, meddling in the darkness? Come out into the light. Receive his forgiveness. I believe God's calling us to new levels of openness and honesty with him and others. He's calling us to confess our sins to him and receive grace. That's what this is about. This isn't about condemnation. This is about, do you want some grace? Do you want to receive mercy? I do. If we confess our sins, good news, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen.